A very good morning, a very good morning to you, my dear listener, and a very good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome, welcome to Eagle FM, and thanks, thank you, David, for handing over the mic to the big one. So we come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. A very good a morning and a warm welcome. You're welcome on board, and it's a pleasure having you this morning. Thanks for joining us at this point in time. So my name is Mike Oshoveni, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what really is going on in terms of business news, economic news, and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. We keep it clear here and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take of what on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and sparking a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories that we are unpacking. So welcome. Our time is about 9 minutes past the hour of 8. I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock, when I will be handing over to Tate Franz at 10 o'clock, coming with Kuthamosha around that time. So, as usual, we go back in history. We go back in history, and what we look at on this day in Africa. That's our first segment on this program. So we go back in history. So good morning, Africa, and welcome to On This Day in Africa, where we look back at the moments that shape our continent. And let's take a journey through history together. February the 13th, a date that carries some weight, you know, music, struggle, and definitely change on the continent. So let's start in 1960. We start on 1960. On this day, France exploded its first atomic bomb in the Sahara Desert in Algeria. So this was a big deal. France became the fourth country in the world to join the nuclear club. But here's the thing. Algeria was still under French colonial rule at that time. No one asked the Algerians if they wanted actually nuclear tests in their backyard. So the explosion left behind more than just crater. It left deep scars, you know, both on the land and in the heart of the people. So it became a powerful symbol of colonial power and its consequences. So to this date, people in the region still live with the environmental and health impact of that decision. Now let's move to 1961, a dark day for the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Authority in Katanga province announced that Patrice Lumumba, the country's first prime minister, a man who dared to dream of a free and united Congo, was dead. So they claimed he had escaped from custody and was killed by the villagers. But many people did not believe the story. Lumumba was just 35 years old. His death shocked the continent and raised questions that actually still echo today about who was really responsible. Fast forward to 1976 in Nigeria, an attempt military coup shook the nation. Lieutenant Colonel Bukar Suka Dinka led a group of soldiers in a bid to seize power. In a chaos, General Murtala Mohammed, the head of state, was assassinated. So Murtala had been in power for just 6 months, but had already started making changes. Now, after his death, power passed to Olusegun Obasanjo, who continued many of Murtala's policies. Now, it was a turbulent time, and many Nigerians still remember exactly where they were when that happened, when they heard the news. Let's turn to 2005, a day of celebration, I would say. Late Smith Black Mabazo, the legendary South African Kerop group, won their second Grammy Award for their album When You Kill. Now, if you have ever heard their voice blend in perfect harmony, you know why they are special. Now, they took the sound of Isikatata, how do you call it? Isikatamiya, that's a traditional Zulu singing style, and shared with the whole world. Now, their win was a proud moment for South Africa, and of course for the continent and African music on the global stage. And finally, 2018 in South Africa again, President Jacob Zuma, a man who had led the country for nearly a decade, was ordered by his own party, the African National Congress, to step down. He faced mounting corruption allegations and growing pressure from all sides. So, after a day of uncertainty, Zuma resigned, and it was a dramatic moment in the country's young democracy. A reminder that no leader is above accountability.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
And of course, you stay in the best country in the world. So, yeah, that's on this day in Africa. History is never just the past, my dear. It lives in our present, shaping who we are. So, and that's another journey through the moment that made our continent. Welcome. If you're just joining us, thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board with us. So, and thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure. Our time is 16 minutes past the hour of 8. So it's a Friday, the Friday the 13th. Sometimes there are people who have those kind of superstitions. When 13th always fall on the Friday, or is it certain days of the, is it certain month? No, any Friday, if it's fall on the 13th, 13 fall on the Friday, they have this, it's a bad luck. There's people who believe that's a bad luck day. So, all right. So, what is our thought for the day on this 13th of February? On this Friday, the 13th of February, a scared dog barks to pretend to its master, but a brave dog bites to protect him. A scared dog barks to pretend to its master, but a brave dog bites to protect him. Now, the proverb uses the behavior of a dog as a metaphor for different kind of courage and action. a dog that Mary barked may be trying to appear fearless or tough to its owners, but, you know, appear tough to its owners, even though it is scared. Just like a person, just like people who make noise or threat without real commitment. Now, in contrast, a truly brave dog will take decision action, biting to defend its master, rather than just making a show of courage. Now, this highlights that real bravery is shown through meaningful action, not just loud and boastful displays. Now, this reflects a common theme in Proverbs that true strength and loyalty are demonstrated in deeds and not words. So, our thought for the day is a scared dog barks to pretend to its master, but a brave dog bites to protect him. So hopefully, your decision and choices that you make today are of the brave dog that actually bite to protect its master. So, all right. So welcome and thanks for joining us. So thanks for joining. So when we come back, let me tell you what you can expect on the show this morning. So, all right, what you can expect on the show, it has been a fierce political battle in the parliament, in Namibian parliament, over the oil bill, the oil amendment bill, where the opposition really ganged up against the bill, citing that, you know, arguing that it's centralizing power in the presidency, and citing that would jeopardize transparency and accountability. So something that we were talking about yesterday as well. So in terms of transparency and accountability. So that's what we're going to look at. But we're going to look at the angle of a certain aspect that has been highlighted. Aspect of power, we're going to look at that. Aspect of corruption, and aspect of democracy. We have a democracy question, and we're going to look at it also in terms of, there's an aspect which I call a swapper dilemma. We're going to look at that as well. And in the amendment bill, there is a clause called or referred to as grandfathering clause. Well, what is that all about? So we're going to look at that, because that also caused contention. And what I'm going to do for you, and don't miss this, this is going to be very interesting. What I have done, I have gone to the current Petroleum Act of 1991, and compared that with the amendment bill. Okay. Now, what we're going to look at, we're looking at a various aspect. We're looking at a various expert aspect of, in terms of transparency, the local content mandate, physical control, kind of looking at different aspect, okay, comparing these two. Now, what we're going to do is that we're going to look at what are we stand to gain and what are we stand to lose. So in comparing now different aspect, it's very interesting. It's going to give you it's going to open up your mind. Why maybe actually, and you're going to understand better why maybe the president, why this amendment. So it's going to give you a really understanding why the amendment, looking at the old, what is good in the old and what could be good in the new amendment bill? And how do we then, you know, how do we, as Namibian, how do we stand to gain and how do we stand to lose from any changes that is made, or the change that gain or from the change that is made? So it's a very interesting comparison. So it took me a lot of time to looking at those. So please make sure that you unpack that with me. So, and of course, your own contribution and your reaction to that. So, yeah, welcome. And it's Friday. It's going to be fun. Stay tuned.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafata na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Zeitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa betu. Moambo lengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. We commit to bring you lower prices on all the essentials you need, like 2 kg real good frozen mixed chicken portions for only $99.99 and 500 grams Polana elbows, macaroni or spaghetti pasta for just $13.99 each. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 22 February 2026. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready, Steady, Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. AIDS UNAM Readiness Program. The University of Namibia is pleased to announce the continuation of the UNAM Readiness Program in 2026 for equitable access to higher education. The program is specifically designed for prospective student aiming to enroll in UNAM undergraduate qualification, excluding professionally regulated programs. The readiness program is intended for learners who have done NSCAS, NSSCO, and NSCH/HIGSCE or equivalent, but do not meet the minimum UNAM admission requirement. Applications are completed online via the UNAM website, www.unam.edu.nam/online-application. So prospect students are encouraged to apply by 20th February 2026 and consult official UNAM platform for admission requirement. That is the UNAM readiness program. So welcome back. So, and good morning if you're just joining us. You are tuned into Unpacking the Day, and I'm your host, Michael Chiavelli. So grab your coffee, settle in, because today we will be talking about a bill that's got our parliament, actually got our parliament looking like a boxing ring. You know, so let me tell you a story, okay, just to give you an idea, or let me give you a picture, okay? I'm going to give you a picture with kind of a scenario or some kind of like a story. Now, imagine you have got a valuable asset in your home, okay, valuable asset in your home. Let's say it's your grandma's, it's your grandmother's land title. Okay, let's make it more, you know, interesting. So it's your grandmother's land title. Now, for years now, it has been kept in a safe that your whole family has access to. Okay, it has been kept in the safe, but everybody have access to it. Everyone can see who is looking at it, who is making decision about it, who benefit from it. So everybody have access to that. Now, one day, someone suggests moving that title deed now to a locked drawer in one person's bedroom. You know where I'm getting it. Where I'm getting to now. That person say, hey, trust me. So I will handle it better. But it used to be accessible to everybody. You know, family, it used to be, the whole family used to have access to it. Now, but now, you know, someone suggests that moving now that title deed to a locked drawer and it's only one person or to one person bedroom. And that person now is saying, hey, trust me, I will handle it better. Now, what would you feel? Would you feel comfortable about that? Would you ask questions? So why this is happening? And that's essentially what's happening right now in our National Assembly. So that is exactly what's happening now in our National Assembly. It's only that it's not about the land deed from the grandma. This time is the oil bill. You know, it's about oil, and it's about the oil bill. Yeah. Now here's the situation. Okay, here's the situation. The government has tabled what they are calling the Petroleum Amendment Bill. Okay, the Petroleum Amendment Bill, and sound technical, huh? When you say oil amendment bill, sound technical, but strip away the jargon. And here's what it really does. Here's what it does. And we're going to do this after this commercial quickly.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. So welcome back. It's 30 minutes past in the hour of 8, and we are just getting started. So the government has tabled what they are calling the Petroleum Amendment Bill. What does this bill want to do? So the bill wants to take control of our oil and gas sector away from the Ministry of Industries, Mining and Energy, and had it directly to the presidency. Now, not to the parliament, not to independent body, to the office of the president. Presidencial da República. Eh? So my friend, the Portuguese, the Presidencial da República. Okay? They wanted to the office of the president. Now, And our opposition parties, I can tell you they hit the roof. They hit the roof. We're talking about affirmative repositioning. We're talking about the Popular Democratic Movement, Independent Patriotic for Change, the Landless People's Movement, even the Unite, the National Unity Democracy, the National Unity Democratic Organization. Remember, parties that normally can't agree on what is the day, even just agreeing, they never agree on what is the day, what it is the day, what is the day today. So are suddenly speaking with one voice. with one voice saying, nope, absolutely not. Now, so the question we need now to ask ourselves is this. Why are they, these opposition parties, why are they worried? Why are they so worried? And maybe, more importantly, should you be worried? Should you be worried yourself? Now, let's go to the first aspect that I talked about, the aspect of power, the power question. So, and this is the fundamental issue here. Now, power. Who is it and who watching them using it? So now, right now, when the minister make decision about oil and gas, that minister answers to parliament. All right? Parliament can summon them. They can summon the minister. Parliament can question them. Parliament can hold them accountable. You and I then, through our elected representatives, have a line of sight into what is happening. So that's the current procedures or law, okay? But what happened when the power moves to the presidency? Now, what happened now when the power moved to the presidency? As this amendment, the petroleum amendment bill suggests. Now, the opposition is arguing that this would create what one of them actually called a concentration of power in an entity that it doesn't answer directly to parliament. Now, I want when you come there, don't just react emotionally. Just let think in terms of what the law say, in terms of the procedure that are there. And as we're going to compare, there are a lot of things that we're probably going to learn. Now, so it say there will be a concentration of power in an entity that it doesn't answer directly to the parliament. Now, the president appoint people to run this new structure. So the president give them instruction. The president control policy. And when things go wrong, when maybe, say, license get issued to a questionable company, when deal smell fishy, who do we question? Now, that's not the question. Who do we question? How do we get answers? Now, the presidency is not sitting in the National Assembly every week taking questions. So the president, it doesn't face the same daily scrutinies as the minister would. So now, here's my first question for you. Now, do we want our most valuable natural resources controlled by one office? Well, that's for you for debate. Or do we want it spread across institution with check and balances? Tell me what you think. So as I said, let's think more in terms of not just how you feel, you know, how this whole thing actually make you feel. Now think, you know, really think. Okay? Now, let's come to the corruption angle, because this also comes out in some of the debate. So, and this is actually the elephant in the room. Now, one opposition member reminded us about something we would rather forget. I said we would rather forget because the National Petroleum Corporation of Namibia corruption case. Now, reminded about that one, it is in court right now. That case is in court right now. Right now, we are literally watching a corruption case unfold involving our petroleum sector. Right now. So, and in the middle of this, the government want to centralize even more power. So, now, the timing, according to some, it should make us nervous. So what they're saying is that Namibia is not unique, right? That Namibia is not unique. oil-rich countries across Africa and the world have seen their resources becoming a curse instead of a blessing. So you can talk of Nigeria, you can talk of Angola, you can talk even Equatorial Guinea. So some of countries now, Africa. So the pattern is always the same. So oil is discovered. Politicians promise prosperity. Power get concentrated. You know, in this case, like to the, you know, to the presidency. Transparency disappeared. A few people get obscenely wealthy. A few people get really, really wealthy. And the majority see nothing. So that's the pattern. Now, one parliamentarian put it bluntly that when you put now control in the president's hand, it creates a potential conflict of interest. How? How does it create a potential conflict of interest? Now, the same office making policy is the same office issuing license in the same office that could benefit. This is the same office that could actually benefit politically or otherwise from those decisions. So there is that fear. There is that potential of conflict of interest. So the other thing is also about investors. Now, they get nervous. Now, they get nervous how because international companies want transparency, regulatory framework, that there's this regulatory framework that is clear and clear to everybody. Now, they want to know the rules, that they want to know that the rule won't change depending on maybe who the president actually likes. So, and who the, this is a good one. Okay, who contributed to their campaign? Now, so if it depending on the president, could be depending on who the president likes or who maybe thinking, okay, who have actually contributed to the campaign. Do you remember the fish rod thing? That you're going to give us, you know, some amount of money to contribute to the campaign. Do you remember that? So, if you, because the power is in one, was invested in the same, in one person. So that's, is the kind of warning that some of the people, of the parliamentarians are putting forth. Now, the uncertainty, remember now that the uncertainty scares money away. So if money goes away, then what happens? So does the job goes away. So does the development. And so does our chance to use this oil, to use this oil's wealth properly. So we're looking, you know, some of people looking at least further forward to say, now, what are laws that are we making? Are we making law for individual or are we making law for institution? Now, given what the bill is proposing, now, have we learned nothing now from watching other countries squander their oil wealth through corruption and mismanagement? Haven't we learned from that? Or do we think we are somehow, maybe we think we are somehow different? Could be. We could be different and maybe somehow immune to this. So now, those are some of the questions that I'm throwing out there for you to think about. So if we think, we're different. I mean, as I said, we have the case right now in court. So we have a case in court right now involving actually oil sector. How different is that? All right. Now let's look at the democracy question. Okay, let me take you deeper into what's really at stake here. Now the PDM president made a fascinating point. Okay, he said something that should actually resonate with every Namibian, regardless of party that you belong to. Now, he said, we cannot legislate to suit one individual. Now, President Nandi Ndaitwah is the president today, but she won't be a president forever. Nobody is actually would be a president forever, except, Robert Mugabe and Museveni. Yeah. So, and this is very crucial. And this is very crucial. Crucial in a way that when you design the system, you don't design it for the person you trust. Listen, you don't design it for the person you trust. You design it for the person you don't know yet. So, because power changes hand. People change. Intention changes. Yeah? Now, maybe you trust this president, okay? Maybe you believe she has Namibia's best interest at heart, which she does, okay? Fine. But what about the next president? Or the other, or the one after that? Now, think about that. That's what we're saying. When you're designing a system, you don't design it for the person you trust. You design it for the person you don't know yet. So we may be trusting Natumbo now, the president Natumbo now, but what about the next president and the one after that? Are you comfortable of trusting, of giving that future president? So now we're not just looking at Natumbo now, of giving that president, giving that future president, whoever they might be, and I have some people in mind, okay, are you trusting or are you comfortable giving that future president unchecked control over billions of dollars worth of our oil resources? Just think about that. Don't think about Natumbo at this point in time. When you're doing now, when you're designing this system, and as I said, you don't design it for the person you trust. You design it for the person you don't know, you don't know yet. And are you comfortable about that? So that you are trusting, you're making a law of an unchecked control over billions of dollars, worth of our resources. Now, and this is different. This is the difference between now governance and personal rule. So this is the difference between governance and personal rule. The governance is about institution. It's about institution. Personal rule is about individuals. All right? So that's a difference. That's a difference between governance and personal rule. Governance is about institution and personal rule is about individuals. One opposition whip said this bill make it harder for the public to see how decisions are made and who benefits, especially when appointment and instruction comes from the same office. So the same office, that the same center of power, actually. Now, that's not just a political talking point, but that's a warning actually about how democracies get eroded. So it gets eroded slowly, slowly, quietly, and one bill at a time. Now, I want to get into what I refer to as the SWAPO dilemma. All right? Now, let's talk about the mathematics and the politics of getting this bill passed now. Okay, how do we get this bill passed? SWAPO has 51 members of parliament out of 96 voting seats. Now, to pass this bill, they need 50% plus one vote. You need 50% plus one vote. So that means they need 49 votes. If my mathematics is correct. Yes, they need 49 votes. Now, they have 51 members. Sound like an easy math, okay? So since they have 51 members, so that sounds easy. All right, but here's the catch. Every single SWAPO MP would need to show up and vote yes on that particular day. On that day of voting of this bill, every single SWAPO MP would need actually to show up and vote yes. Every single one of them. Now, and the Swapo chief whip, made an interesting comment. So he also made a very interesting comment. He said, if Swapo members tables a bill, how can another Swapo member object? How can another Swapo member object that bill? It doesn't make sense. That's what actually the Swapo chief whip said. It's a very interesting comment. Interesting in a way that this is where now my but it does make sense. But he said it doesn't make sense, but it does make sense. And this is where my Swapo dilemma comes in, you know. Or is that a problem? Now that's where the dilemma come in. Is that a problem? Because now my question is this, and this is very important. As I said, let's not have emotions. Let's think. Now, should a parliamentarian, maybe something that we need to discuss here, should a parliamentarian vote based on a party loyalty? Should a parliamentarian vote based on a party loyalty, or should they vote based on what is right for the country? When you think that is actually right for the country, so would you just vote based on party loyalty, or should they vote based on what is right for the country? Now, should MPs be just a rubber stamp? You know, you just rubber stamp. You don't need to think or whatever. Should they just rubber stamp? Or should they be independent thinkers who scrutinize legislation, even when it comes from their own party? You scrutinize, you know, those legislation. It doesn't matter where it's coming from, even if it's coming from your own party, because you want what is the best for your country. So that's, as I said, it does make sense, but it is, for me, it's a Swapo dilemma now. So do you rubber stamp? As now the chief whip saying, well, when, you know, if a Swapo member tables a bill, how can another Swapo member object? It doesn't make sense, but it does make sense. You know, it does make sense because you're a parliamentarian. You know, you have to vote based on, you know, on what is right for the country. Well, that's something for us to debate. So what do you think? So, where the rubber meets the road. This is where now the rubber meets the road for Swapo MPs. Are they representative of the people, or are they representative of the party? So that's, you know, it's for us to debate. So, and then the Prime Minister then has apparently proposed a consultative workshop outside of the parliament to discuss the bill. Now, it sounds reasonable, right? You know, it sounds reasonable, isn't it? Let's talk it through. Find a common ground. So he said, well, let's talk it through somewhere else and find a common ground. But one opposition member saw through this immediately. Now, he said, Parliament is the opportune platform to debate the bill. This is the opportune platform to debate the bill. If we can debate it successfully here, it would accelerate passing it. So if we debate successfully, it would accelerate passing it, and subject to proper in the parliament is subject to proper scrutiny. So why move the debate outside the parliament? Why have a workshop somewhere else? So when we have a National Assembly specifically designed for debating legislations, which actually makes sense. Maybe could it be? Now, in my mind, could it be because public parliamentary debates are on record? Okay? Or because they are harder to control. Sometimes they're harder to control, as you can see, because opposition voices can't be managed easily. Could it be those are the reasons? I'm just asking. Now, so think about that as well. And that, let's look at this clause that's referred to as the grandfathering clause. Now, it's a technical detail that's actually terrifying when you're understanding it. Okay? Just hold on.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha wutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana.
All right, welcome back. I had an intruder in my studio. All right. All right. So, okay. Now, so looking at, but there's this clause called the grandfathering clause. Okay. Some opposition member called out what they term now that the most dangerous provision in the bill, the grandfathering clause. So, what does that mean? Essentially, it means allowing the sitting president to take charge of natural resources under the guise of the move being strategic, you know? So under the guise that the move is being strategic, but potentially also exempting certain existing arrangements from the new rules. You understand? So, because there's a move that, okay, under the guise that, okay, this is, it's just being, we're being strategic, and in that process, exempting certain rules as well, you know, from the new rules, from the new amendment bill. So the grandfathering clause can be used to protect existing interests, to lock in certain deals to make sure specific people or company retain privileges under the new regulations. And they often now, that's often how corruption gets backed into law. So that's the danger. So why would this bill need such a clause? What existing arrangement need protecting? That's what the questions that are asking. What is the existing arrangement need protecting? Who benefits from that? And these are the questions that demand answers. Okay? Those are the questions that demand answers. All right. So, what I'm going to do, and you are now most welcome to come through. I know there were a couple of you that were, you know, knocking on the door. So, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to compare, just to give us a broader, really, understanding of why is this so much strong opposition to this bill, and looking at some aspect, from also the perspective of the proposed amendment and also from the current Petroleum Act of 1991. So we're looking at that current framework. We're looking at the current framework with the proposed amendment. And what we're looking is what Namibians tend to lose. What are we tend to lose and what are we tend to gain? Okay? So that's that we're looking at. Okay, and you're most welcome to come through it as well, as we go through this. Now, let's look at now this is too big. I can't see everything. Okay, let's start with the regulatory authority. The regulatory authority, the aspect of regulatory authority. So, who has the authority? So when we look at the current petroleum act of 1991, the Minister of Industries, okay, let's get to the caller quickly.
A very good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. A very good morning to you. Can you hear me?
All right. Someone who called and they probably discussing with somebody else. Okay. Now we're looking at we're comparing the current what did I do to my work? Okay. We're comparing the current Petroleum Act of 1991 to the proposed amendment in terms of that. We're looking at the aspect of regulatory authority. Now, in the current Petroleum Act, so the Minister of Industries and Mines and Energy hold the extensive power. Okay? So, but in the proposed amendment, the power split is placed between the president, that's a strategic, and also between the president and the director general of the upstream petroleum unit, you know, and that power is actually operational. So you have the strategic power in the president and also the operational power in the director general of the upstream petroleum unit. Now, the question is now, what are we stand to gain? What are Namibians stand to lose? Let's look at what are we stand to lose in terms of this arrangement, in terms of what's being proposed and what is there. So now, it's a parliamentary oversight, okay? The parliamentary oversight, the minister answers directly to what we stand to lose is that, in terms of parliamentary oversight, the minister answers direct questions, you know, answers directly to my things are disappearing. I don't know why. All right. Okay. Now, in terms of what Namibia stand to lose is that the parliamentary oversight, the minister answers directly to parliament. In the parliament, he can be questioned, he can be summoned, and he can be held accountably on a weekly basis. Now, what Namibian gains tend to gain from the proposed amendment is that specialist expertise, that means a dedicated technocrats. So there's a dedicated technocrat managing oil sector full time. Okay? Full time, instead of minister juggling, you know, multiple portfolios. So here now you have a dedicated technocrat, someone who's understand, basically, hopefully that's the case, who is managing oil sector full time instead of the minister juggling between multiple portfolios. So that's what we stand actually to gain, you know. So now, when it comes to licensing control, the aspect of licensing control, the minister is the one who issues exploration and production license through the Petroleum Commissioner. In the current Petroleum Act, it is the minister who does that. Now, in a new proposed amendment of 2026, so the Director General grant license, and then the Deputy Director General issues them in an office of the President. Okay? So what are we stand to lose? What are the Namibians stand to lose? It's whole question, it's transparency. Here, what we stand to lose is transparency. The presidential office, it doesn't face the same daily parliamentary scrutiny as the minister. So that's what we stand to lose in terms of license control. So, because the president's office, it doesn't face the same daily parliamentary scrutiny as ministers would. Now, what are we stand to gain? What are we stand to gain in terms of this, in terms of licensing control with the new proposed amendment, is that it's efficiency. So hopefully, so it's like efficiency, streamlined decision-making with a clear separation between approval, you know, the DG, and execution, the deputy DG. So you can see that there's that efficiency. So, and maybe that's what the president is looking at. You know, that's streamlining decision-making with a clear separation. So between, you know, between now the approval, who is approving, who is actually the DG, and also an execution, who is actually the deputy DG. Now, so when it comes now to the accountability line, when it comes to reporting, in the current Petroleum Act, so when it comes now to the accountability line, in the current Petroleum Act of 1991 that we're looking at now, so the minister actually report to the parliament, and the parliament in a way report to citizen. That's a direct line of democratic accountability. So in the new amendment bill, the director general report to the president. And who does the president report to? To nobody. So, and that's the weaker parliamentary oversight, okay, in the new amendment. And this is where now the opposition actually, you know, hammering as well. So what are we stand to gain? What are we stand to lose? Okay, so it's democratic check and balances. It's harder for MP to actually question decisions, you know, not direct someone to the parliament for licensing issues, if that's the case. All right.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mr. Shaveri. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Fine. Yeah, the patients are becoming more.
Yeah.
Even though they are still few, but the answers are plenty.
Yeah.
So we are now looking at the current arrangement, proposed arrangement, and also the old one.
Yeah.
We know very well that most of our registration or statutory provision, which were made earlier on.
Yes.
So as much as they are good enough, and we are still standing as an exemplar when it comes to constitutional democracy. Yeah, we are being placed on that. And the reason why it's happening like that is because at least most of our laws, regulatory framework and authorities, or whatever you call them, many of them are still responding to the needs, the strategic needs of our people, and also operational needs. But if you look at the operational power,
yeah,
the operational power, the strategic needs, or strategic direction, you want to now see the worst of those two. The operational needs, where you are actually operationalizing the registration and all this action plan and all these other things. Mm. Of course, you also look at the strategic needs. And that's very important as well. Because you are now looking at how you satisfy your stomach now, here.
Yeah.
Maybe the power that is in the minister. And the minister will not be shed off. His power or her power will not be shed off. So he can still, or he or she can still do maybe operationalizing or also strategic planning as to how to satisfy to meet the needs of the future generation. So this is our resources. And I believe most of the callers who were calling yesterday, most of them, what I have learned is that they are saying we need to have our own, to own our own resources. The sovereignty that I always hear around here. And this is all what the whole Africa, the whole countries, look at the recommendation from the mining in Durban.
Yeah, let's you focus on the bill.
So I'm talking about the bill, please. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay.
I'm talking about the bill. That's why I talked about what you have said. Operational needs, strategic needs. If, for example, so I don't know whether people just say no for the sake of saying no. Even if they know.
No, it's not for the sake of no. There are certain things that they actually have.
I understand. Yeah. I listened to your discussion from the beginning, even yesterday.
Yeah.
Just let me finish, then you come with your question.
Yeah, no. I'm just trying to come in to interact with
you. Okay, come in there now.
Yeah.
So people are not saying it's not obviously. Even if you know the history, I don't want to go in the history of some of these political parties. So even in the past, they never spoke in favor of our resources to be owned by our Namibians. They even never spoke about the sovereignty of the country. So now, if, for example, if this power, if our intelligence, I don't know why the fear is, and Kajoga Panyoka was interviewing here and was saying about the fear. Then he's also talking about us owning our own resources. Now, if they say group was, you have just heard that people were given the permission to explore. They ended up extracting and exporting the raw material and the mineral resources. Why do you think it happened? Yeah? Now the thing is coming to the president to make sure that you monitor, you control, you direct, you lead the way it's supposed to be done. And now they are saying, so what is the issue? I'm not saying that people are just opposing for the sake of opposing, but that is it from my own understanding, and that is their history. I don't want to go in their history. So if there is a that bill had to be amended, and is to make sure that the Namibians benefit, because one of your questions was, what are the Namibians said to lose and benefit from this?
Yeah.
If so, the president, the ministers, all those in parliament from various political parties, they are all there because they are representing their people, and they are Namibian people. So if they are representing only their organization, and that is what I'm observing there, so the president is representing everyone, irrespective of you, who you are. So what are you intending to lose there? What are the laws? Points there. Is it because you did not get in a relationship with the IPC that you were talking about yesterday? Some of these things are hypocrisy.
Mm.
So when it comes to the rating, in terms of leadership and, of course, leadership, accountability, and all these values that we spoke about, yes. And this is what he's talking about. These are the things that are embedded in our constitution. So what is the president doing wrong there? So they want the same law that was there to inflict poverty to our people. That's why people were stealing. Let's see now whether we are going to see people stealing and how they are going to. And you are always saying, no, people have negotiated very little amounts and what.
Hmm.
This is because they knew that they were going to steal and extract the resources outside of the country.
and they won't benefit our people. So let's see now the proposal, the bill. You know already, people here, they don't have electricity there, they don't have what. So, and the issue is that we need to come in now with policy intervention. Mm. Let's see how our people can benefit. Ask your question if you want to ask, please.
Yeah, no, the question is actually based on some of the aspects that are highlighted. Okay. Let's say for example, I'm coming to you now. Just hold on. So let's say, for example, we trust President Netumbo Ndaitwa now, because we know she's actually meant well for the people of Namibia. And we are meant, you know, the president to be in charge. So let's say, for example, comes now, this is a law now that gives the president power. And then we have now a new president. Now, who doesn't now? The president, that president doesn't have the much of the interest of the people. Not the same as Netumbo.
We call him to order. The master call him to order.
The law we have put already, we make the law that give him power to make those decisions.
So the same president who is going to go to the state house there.
Yeah. So those are the questions now. That's what
I'm answering your question. Yeah. I'm answering them now.
Mm.
The president who is going to be elected, whether in 50 years or whatever, and he feels that, yes, this structure, this is leadership direction, and we know, and those people also come from their parties and things like that, and they are mandated. So the president now that is doing the good job, as many other global leaders are doing, if he comes in, we are going to rate him, we are going to appraise him. And it's not, the president that is going to come in there is also going to pay, to be paid, to make sure that is it really working, is it going to work in the interest of the Namibians? So what is your fear there? So
no, we close the... You're not getting the point. The point is let's for example, the power was given to the Minister of Fisheries. Yes. So the Minister of Fisheries has got, there was given a power where he actually making a decision that actually yes. brought us, that he made those decisions that lead to fish rot. You understand?
Okay. So let me go to the fish rot.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, you're not listening, you're not getting the point. The point is talking about the regulatory authority should it be in the individual or should it be in the institution? Do you understand?
So listen, okay, let me ask. I think you may not have read the you are not following the news very well. It's an institution that's going to be created there. Not just an individual person who is going to give the power, to be given the power. The institution, like you have any other institution, they have all those, the structures that are there. And you have read the structure, the staffing. All is there. The minister is not removed. His power, maybe he just need to enhance his power and do more efficient. I'm not saying that he doesn't do that. So what is the fear? It's not about a bureaucratic kind of a system that is created. It's a transparent institution. You can see the structure, the roadmap. So please let me not take your example. I just answer your question now. And if you are not happy with that question, it's fine. You can
say no. I'm not. It's not that I'm happy with the question. I'm asking the question for debate. Not necessarily that I'm asking the question from you. I have read both. I'm reading both. At this point, I'm reading both the current Praetorium Act and the proposed amendment. That's why I'm making that comparison for people
to
understand.
The amendment to create an institution. Yeah. The minister is going to be there. If you want to do strategic action or operational needs, then that is what we have. So you can still do it there. There are other people, the advisors, the experts in the petroleum. So you are constantly saying that the capacity is lacking there. Now people are reorganizing and make sure that the resources are deployed to benefit the Namibians. What is the fear? Thank you very much.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. That's also what we need to. We also need to listen to all the aspect that is being discussed, so that we don't really go away from the point that we're trying to make. All right. So let's also learn to listen. So rather than actually just taking one aspect, and run with that. Okay. So, all right. Now, in terms of, you're most welcome now to come through and have your contribution, 0833-66091, 0833-66091. So, do come through and have your contribution. So, in terms of accountability line, the current Petroleum Act, the current Petroleum Act of 1991, the Ministry of Industry and Mines and Energy, the line ministry, subject to parliamentary oversight. I mean, we're talking about the accountability. The minister actually report to the parliament, and the parliament report that's a direct line of democratic accountability, report to the citizens. So in the proposed amendment, the director general report to the president, and the president, it doesn't actually report to the parliament. That's the weaker parliamentary oversight. Now, what is the Namibian gain to lose? And we're looking at what they gain to lose and what they gain to and what they stand to lose and what they stand to gain. What they stand to lose is the democratic check and balances. It's harder for the MPs now to question decisions, because the president doesn't sit in the parliament. So, and the director general for the upstream petroleum unit, it doesn't sit the parliament. So it's harder for MP to question the decision. No direct summon, so they cannot be able to summon to the parliament and answer questions when there is something that is not right. So, the new proposed amendment, what we Namibian gained, what stand to gain from that is the anti-corruption measures, okay. So the anti-corruption measure, because the DG and the deputy GD must be now declared their asset. So they have to declare their asset. And now, when we talk about accountability line, is that they have to declare their asset, and they're also financial interests. So they have to declare that. Can be also, the president can be able to remove, they can be also be able to remove by the president for integrity failure. So that what we stand to gain from this, there's that kind of anti-corruption measures. That's in the way, that's kind of like anti-corruption measures put in place in terms of that. So when it comes to institutional location, where is this? The ministries, Ministry of Industries and Mines and Energy, actually is subject, as I said, that is subject to oversight, parliamentary oversight, but the upstream petroleum unit in the office of the president is in the office of the president, is not subject to the parliamentary oversight. Now, what Namibian stand to lose in terms of that is that the separation of power, the concentration of power is in one office without institutional check and balances. So the upstream petroleum unit, it's not subjective to parliamentary oversight. But what we stand to gain is that there's a higher level of coordination. So there could be higher level of coordination. The presidential office can convene multiple ministries now to solve an overlapping issue faster as compared to when it's in the ministry. So that's something we can, from this proposed amendment bill. So that's what we stand to gain from that. So if it comes to the physical decision in terms of money decision, the minister in the old framework, the Petroleum Act and the Petroleum Act of 1991, the minister manages royalty rates. You know, it's the minister who manages royalty rates, the deferrals, the fiscal terms. You know, the fiscal terms are they all managed by the minister and subject to the parliamentary scrutiny. Now, this is now open. It's also subject to the parliamentary scrutiny because the ministers sit in the parliament. Now, so in their proposed amendment, the president actually controlled the royalties, the royalty rates, the deferrals, and the revenue decision. It's actually the president who controls that. All right? Now, what are we gain? What are we stand to lose? Okay? So in terms of this. Now, so what we tend to lose is that the future president actually inherit an unchecked control, this unchecked control over billions in oil and in oil revenue. Depending on what kind of a president you will get in the future, you have this unchecked control over billions in oil revenue. That's what we stand to lose. What do we stand to gain as Namibian? So it's a strategic oversight. Okay? So it's a strategic oversight. That means the highest office in the land oversees oil wealth as a trustee, if you like, as a trustee over national resources. So if it's managed well, so that is now you have this strategic oversight of the highest office overseeing on our oil wealth as a, you can call it as a trustee of our national resources. I think that's what we stand to gain from the new proposed amendment. So when it comes to regulatory structure, so we have the in the current Petroleum Act, the Commissioner for Petroleum, we have the Commissioner for Petroleum Affairs, and then plus the Chief Inspector under the Ministry. All right? So in the new, in the proposed amendment, we have the Director General, and then you have a Deputy Director General, plus now specialized staff in petroleum in the presidential unit. So that's now the direction. So, and what we're looking at, what with the changing of the structure, what are we stand to gain and what are we standing to lose? What are we stand to get to lose? So the existing institutional knowledge, you know, now there will be a dismantling of the established ministry structure, you know, and that may actually cause a transition disruption in the moment. So that could be something, you know, that's what we stand actually to lose. We have the existing institutional knowledge. And that's when you dismantle that, you actually then, you may cause a transition disruption. So what are we stand to gain? We actually then have a dedicated focus, because then when you have now, this unit, it's a presidential unit. You have a dedicated focus. These are specialized unit focusing solely, you know, these are focusing solely on oil and gas, nothing else. And not competing with mining and energy portfolio demands. So they are solely focusing on oil and gas. I think that that we actually stand to gain with a new proposed, with a new amendment. Proposal. So, yeah, in that area. So when it comes now to public transparency, so for the current petroleum unit, Petroleum Act, there's no mandatory annual public reporting on the petroleum operation in the current act. There's no mandatory annual public reporting on the petroleum operation. Now, in the proposed amendment, it's a requirement. This is now a new requirement. So that means it's the unit must publish annual public report on upstream petroleum activities. Annually, they have to publish an annual public report. So that's a requirement now. So, and this actually fits well into what we were talking about yesterday, the EIT alignment. So, and this is what probably the anonymous was also talking. Can we not have our own? This is something that we can be able to do on our own. It's actually now embedded into the proposed amendment. So now it's required that the unit publish annual public report on upstream petroleum activities. Okay? So what do we gain? What do we stand to lose? I think here we stand more, in terms of public transparency, we stand more to gain because citizens can get annual accounting of who is drilling what, where, and under what terms. We can be able to see that. And as I said, what we stand to gain is exactly what we were talking about yesterday, the AITI alignment. We meet the extractive industry transparency initiative standard. So I think in terms of a public transparency, this would be in the way it would be more transparent compared to the current Petroleum Act. So if it's come to the other aspect we can look at is the conflict of interest rules. So the conflict of interest rules. Okay, let's first look at the data governance. Okay, in the current, you're most welcome to come through, please, so you can just interrupt me at any times, and if there's anything that you find interesting, and get your comment. We'll come back after this.
There is no price like the ShopRite price. That's why we're committed to bringing you lower prices on all the essentials you need. Like 2 kg crystal gold parboiled rice for only $29.99. And 5 kg Sugar King white sugar for only $98.99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 22 February 2026. Only at ShopRite. Catch ready, steady, cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
All right, welcome back. We're looking at aspect, we're comparing aspect from the old, from the current, not the old, from the current Petroleum Act of 1991 with a proposed amendment bill. So the proposed Petroleum Amendment Bill of 2026. So when it comes to data governance, okay, this aspect of data of governance. So from the current act have no central data authority. Okay, the current act have no central data authority. Operators must provide information to the commissioner. So in the proposed amendment bill, the unit establishes National Petroleum Data Repository. All right. So the data analyzes economic performance. So they analyze also economic performance based on the data that they receive. So that's one thing. So when it comes to what we gain as Namibian, what we stand to get to lose, I think here we have is nothing, actually nothing. There's nothing we gain to lose because here there's now national intelligence, centralized data now allow the government actually to make informed policy decisions because we have centralized data. So, and what do we stand to lose? I mean, what do we stand to gain? So it's the economic forecasting capabilities. Now we have the economic forecasting capability for a long-term sectors and development. So for maybe for a long-term sector development. So In terms of now data governance, I think there's nothing we stand to lose. Actually, the amendment help us to have this national intelligence, to have this centralized data, which allows now the government to make informed policies and decisions. So, all right. So, I hope you're following. So, and then when it comes now to conflict, which some of the things that the oppositions are talking about when it comes to conflict of interest. Yeah. So now in the current act, the official cannot hold interest in the petroleum license or companies. Okay. That's in there. So, and that actually have been strengthened. And now in the amendment, it has been actually strengthened because the DG and the deputy, the director general and the deputy director general must now declare all asset and also business interest to the president. In actual fact, that has been now strengthened. So, and when we look at those two aspects that we're looking at, and what do we stand to gain and what do we stand to lose and what we stand to gain, is that it actually enhances the safeguards. So it goes beyond basic prohibition to require proactive disclosures. Okay, we only have something to gain. And this is an accountability mechanism as well. So president can remove official who violate integrity standard. So when you look at now at the new proposed amendment bill, it's actually we stand actually to gain than actually stand to lose when it comes to conflict of interest rules. So maybe our opposition also need to look at this into a little bit more in terms of this. Okay, as I said, it's from the previous official cannot hold interest in a petroleum license. Well, that depends whether we comply, whether people are complying with the rules anyway. But the rules are there, and it's being strengthened in the new one. And it's always a whole question of compliance. We can say that rules are there, and the question is actually how to comply with those rules, whether they will be able to comply with them. All right, and when it comes to local content, another interesting aspect is the local content. Okay? So in the current Petroleum Act, it's not explicitly mandated in a regulatory structure. Okay? It's not mandated. So when it comes now to the new to the proposed petroleum amendment to amendment when it comes to the proposed amendment, it's a new mandate. It's the mandate now that the unit must promote local content and Namibian participation in petroleum activities. It is now mandated in there. So, and when it comes, when we look now in terms of what Namibian stand to get to lose and stand to gain, I think it's we stand to gain overall, because now this is job creation. Legal, there's now a legal obligation to prioritize Namibian employment and business opportunities in the new amendment. So, and it also a capacity building, skills transfer, and local industry development. It's written now in the law. You understand? It's now written in the law. In the previous one, it was not explicitly mandated, but now it is written in the law. Local content mandate. It is in the law. So, I'm just giving you now the comparison so that you, when people argue, you have an understanding of, well, where is the weaknesses and where is the strength? You know, where is the weaknesses of new proposed proposed amendment, and where is actually strength of the proposed amendment, and where is the weaknesses of the current act, and the strength of the current act. So there's also this environmental oversight. So normally in the old act, in the current act, the minister consults with fisheries and an environment minister. They consult with other ministries as well, with the Ministry of Fisheries and also with the Ministry of Environment. Now, in the proposed amendment, the president consults with fisheries and environment ministers when making now regulations. So that means the president would also invite other ministries to when they are making regulations. So now what are we stand to lose? I think it's a concern in terms of procedural. You know, unclear if the presidential consultation will be as rigorous as the ministerial process. So it's just a concern. Maybe that's what we stand to lose. I think the state quo, what do we stand to gain? The state quo is the same, as I think it's maintained. So same consultation requirements, just different office. Yeah, it's just different office, but it's the same consultation requirement. And so, and the other thing that, okay, let's get to the caller.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm good. Mike, I want to, with regards to this, if you remember yesterday, I mentioned about how each administration that comes in,
yeah,
it colors the economy, it colors the narrative that is being carried and what the ministries are focused on. It colors them. So the leader's views and opinions or likes and dislikes and those things, they don't come and become the law or whatever, but it colors it in the sense that I gave you the example of the last administration where we had homosexuality as the discussion of the day.
Yeah.
Right? We were talking about it a lot. Now we're talking about corruption a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
And what I'm trying to say is that when it comes to even this, the participation and the, what did you call it? What is the word you said?
Intent.
I forget the word. What is the local content.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the word.
Mm.
The local content. Should this not be something that is prevalent in every resource and asset of Namibia, whether it's diamonds,
yeah,
whether it's uranium, whether it's whatever it may be? This should be something that should be written into the law, and it should be there to make money. Because, you see, the way Namibia becomes rich is when Namibians become rich.
What you're saying, it should be a constitutional law. Rather than, you know, something that's pertained to the ministry or to a certain sector, you know?
Exactly. It should cut across all of the sectors and all of the ministries, health, whatever it may be.
Mm.
That's how it should be, because the way we get money in is when we sell to other countries and they pay us in US dollars or euros or whatever, that money comes into the country. Yes, there's a custodian who's supposed to be Namibian. That money comes into the country, and everybody in the country will eventually benefit from this. What this one guy holds, because he will build a house, he will go to spa, he will do whatever. And now that money that was outside the economy is now circulating inside the economy. Correct?
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. So then, what the Namibian government should be doing is making sure that this local content thing is not to one ministry for one resource. It should be a law unto itself, cutting across all ministries, cutting across all sectors, so that Namibians then are then afforded the opportunities to do what? To benefit, so that the country can benefit. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, in the feudal systems, when you had a king, right? I know the feudal system is not necessarily about kingdoms, but the and we are now in a new feudal system where we have a king, but the king is just elected.
Yeah.
Or queen is just elected. In those systems, they used to have a way for a local man or even a I don't know, not just that the elite, but locals could approach the king or the queen and petition them to say, this thing that I want to do is important for the kingdom for X, Y, Z reason.
Yeah.
And I want your support. And the king or the queen would then institute their support and the thing. Think about Solomon and the two women with a child that was going to be cut in half, right? Mm-hmm. That's an example of that.
Yeah.
When these two women came there, it's because they had appealed to the courts or to whatever, and that had not worked. Nobody could solve it, so they came to the king, and then he solved it.
Yeah.
The same thing must be applicable with every administration of Namibia, because let's say, for instance, I'm a local businessman, and I have an issue. I'll give you an example. Let's talk about oil, right, yeah. Or petrochemicals. Right now, if you go to Walvis Bay, there's no storage capacity for any petroleum products. But and the Namco lines that are there, they're dedicated lines, you offload it from the ship through their lines into the tank that you have. But if you don't have the tank there, you can do nothing. Right? Because
yeah.
Where are they going to put it? So if you want to increase the involvement of Namibians in that kind of industry, You might go as a local businessman, go to the because the ministry will not help you. They work according to what they have been told, what the law says.
Yeah.
Right? And the ministry is not going to the minister may not even help you as well. So if that is the case, then you should be able to get to the president's office and say, I see an opportunity for Namibia. Can you please talk to your ministers? And if the law has to be debated in parliament, let it be debated. But this is the thing. We want to float petroleum in barges that are going to be kept to store petroleum products so that we can sell storage to other countries that are landlocked that want to buy through us. That just opens the market even more.
Yeah.
Can you please do that? That should be an option. That is protecting local content.
Mm-hmm.
Local content is not just one thing. It has many facets, and it should be explored to what is local content.
Yeah,
another facet could be...
Yeah, the other thing is actually, when we're looking at it now, why it become more prominent now? Why we didn't start 20 years ago? We could have been somewhere by now, you know, and all of a sudden we're talking more about local content when it comes now to the oil and gas. But
yeah.
All along, as you're saying, with all other sectors, we haven't been strong enough to that. We even started now strategic policy when it's come to local content, not just last year or the year before, when it's come to mining. So, but where were we with 20 years ago? You know?
People like IPPR, people like advisors from the European Union, people like those were the people that were doing what? They were picking big holes into the brains of our leaders to lead them to think other things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why it took so long. Those type of people, the snakes in the grass. And then there are even people who do it, you know, for their own benefit, and so they would keep it on the low. People like Saki, remember, gentlemen who are in business.
Yeah.
People like Saki like that. He is actually acting, it is a form of treason, actually. Economic treason. If you are working to disadvantage Namibians for your own benefit, that should be seen as treason, right? But local content could be a thing of, let's say, for instance, there's a mine.
Mm.
Then the mine says, I want to come and mine in your country uranium or gold. Then you let them know, fine, you can mine gold. But you do not have the right to run a cafeteria. You do not have the right to run a bus service. You can't have buses that you own, that you run. You have to rent that from a Namibian company.
Yeah.
You do not have the right to do your own drilling. You do not have the right to run your own haul trucks. Whatever it may be, and then you define it, that is a form of local content protection, because there are subsidiary industries in every industry. If you have a company, for instance, that is, let's say ADB, it has a Namibian company or representative here, but it itself is based in South Africa. So it gets it gets paid by a Namibian company, say a mine, and that money goes to South Africa, and then they pay their employee that is here in Namibia, and they claim that that's a Namibian company. That's not local content. That is actually fighting local content. So those are the type of things that should be written into the thing. It's deeper than what you're explaining is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? It needs to be broadened and it needs to be explored, because there are companies, South African companies, right here and right now, right? ABB, I think Megatron, they are selling things like transformers, electrical transformers. These guys are buying from those companies, and they're not buying from Namibian companies. Even if I go to, I know a gentleman, he went to China, he made the agreements, but he is 100% Namibian.
Yeah.
And even those companies in South Africa, they are doing the same thing with him, right? Yeah. They're also buying from...
There's also a point that you're making in there. I mean, you just mentioned, it reminded me something, that some company that we refer to as a local content, actually, they are not. Sometimes we just put the name Namibian to South African company, the First National Bank.
Exactly.
First National Bank of Namibia. It's not a Namibian.
It's not a Namibian. There's only one Namibian bank. Bank is Bank Windhoek.
Yeah, that's Standard Bank of Namibia. So it's not really a Namibian. It's just branding.
Absolutely.
It's just putting a name on a company that belongs to South Africa most of the time.
And then we wonder why is our economy not growing?
Exactly.
Because we keep sending money to South Africa. We are still acting as though we are a colony or a province of South Africa. Yeah. We're behaving like that. So we keep sending money to South Africa by allowing these South African companies to come in here. Some of the South African companies, it's so bad, Mike. Some of the South African companies have big contracts with Namibian mines.
Yeah.
And they get things like maybe every 3 months, let's say 40 million, 80 million. And what do? They only have one individual working for them, or even two individuals working for them as employees. And those guys don't even get 1%, not even 0.01% of what these guys are extracting out of a Namibian mine.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those are things that should be, that is part of local content. That's why we have graduates who are in the streets.
Yeah.
That's why we have all of these resources, but we can't access the things because our government is not actually protecting who?
Yeah.
Namibian businessmen. Namibian businesses.
Mm. Great, man. Yeah. No, thanks for coming through, yeah?
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah, protecting Namibian businesses. It was something actually I was thinking of yesterday. Yesterday I was with my daughter and we went in Choppies. And in Choppies actually they're selling fat cake. Okay. And actually something came to my mind and actually I said, why don't we have a law that actually prevent companies like Choppies or Pick and Pay or ShopRite actually selling fat cake, because they can sell the flour. So, but then let's our people. So because now I come now when we buy the fat cake in Choppies, and I'm not just saying specifically for Choppies. When you buy fat cake in Choppies, we're denying the person that is actually sitting outside there who is actually selling fat cakes. You understand? And this is the point that he's just making now.
Very good morning to you.
But
just quick 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes.
Yes, 1 minute. You ask a question to an animal.
Yeah.
And yesterday you gave us the clear direction of the presentation.
Yeah.
Even Andreas also did the same. So you ask a question now that why now?
Yeah.
And the answer was also given that yes, it's because of the urgency. So in South Africa, I was listening to the president. I was listening to the mining in Daba. Maybe we also need to start doing some lessons there and how they are doing it, like Anonymous is saying.
that the law by then and the administration was not perhaps taking so urgent to address the needs of the people.
Yeah.
So hence there is a need now to make sure that the laws are amended. And if you see, many of us, we don't propose for the amendment or repealing of those laws many a time. But we are the ones who are actually more event with the poverty and all these things, the people.
Yeah.
Whether it's from the village, from the urban or whatever. And many a times the barriers, when you talk about the informal economy now, we are talking about barriers now, informal law, bylaw and all these other things. When these things are done now, it's now urgent. So we must all then support and promote that vision.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
08-333-6091, 08-333-6091. I'm looking at, first of all, how we started looking at the fierce battle, if you can call it that way, that shown by the oppositions when it comes to the proposed petroleum, proposed amendment. Sometimes you mixed up, actually, you get mixed up with your own word. So the proposed amendment bill, petroleum amendment bill, and what we did now, we've gone through, we highlight certain things that we focus on. We looked at the aspect of power, we look at the aspect of democracy, we look at the aspect of corruption, we look at the aspect of, as I put it, SWAPO dilemma, and also the grandfathering clause that's also put in there. So and now I decided actually to pair that the current Petroleum Act with the proposed amendment, and see how, what do we stand to gain and what we stand to lose, and looking at different aspects that's what we were going on.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking Today.
Yes, Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm all right, man.
Yeah, we are
back and forth.
We're back and forth. We're trying to educate ourselves.
Yeah, we need to, because remember one thing, kind of that bill is supposed to start with us.
Yeah.
For debate.
Yeah.
Before we go to the what? Parliament. We are supposed to have our input.
Yeah.
To that bill. And remember one thing, the fear of unknown which we have is that because we don't know what is going to happen, but we have a history with we've been taught when it comes to this lot. The same story what happened.
Yeah.
And we don't, as a nation, and some of our, we are careful, we don't want to repeat the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we can say whatever, but remember one thing, that nobody to come and say, if we're both all going to lose one day,
yeah,
then what are we going to say?
I think there are those...
The new party.
Yeah.
With that law exists. Are we going to claim the tree to shout out to, or what are we going to do?
It's not even about SWAPO, actually. It's about the next president. It could be a next president who is a SWAPO president. Could be still. But still not the same as maybe Memende Tumbo. He become corrupt. Could be more corrupt. Then you have a law that actually give him power. You understand?
My friend, things can change overnight. Maybe we have a new party, and then a new party green in the victory.
Exactly.
What are we going to do about that bill? Is that the problem? I don't understand that.
So it's not the bill. I think it's not the bill in totality, but also I think in some aspect of the bill, I think we need to look at, because there are also certain good things in the proposed amendment. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, and the thing is, what I'm looking at is that, you know, when you think of it, it may be, she means it very well.
Yeah.
But the aspect which we went through is what is keeping us angels.
Yeah.
Because once you know the history, you don't want to repeat.
It's not only us. It's also what we learn from other countries.
Other countries, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what is going through.
To be fair, the Petroleum Act is not adequate enough to address the issues that are coming now, because we didn't have petrol. We were not a country that producing oil before. You understand?
Yeah. But it would be very understandable.
Yeah. It need to be upgraded. It need to be be amended. Yeah. So that.
Yeah.
Only certain aspect that need to be looked at.
Which we need to clean out, yeah. Because exactly. For me, to have a new appointed deputy,
yeah.
The director,
yeah.
Without us having input or no, these ones are going to be appointed by the president, isn't it?
Mm.
And then we have a scenario of that. I'm always referring that we have appointed anti-corruption commission.
Yeah.
And some of us were not happy. Mm. The work is doing. Eh? What happened to the guy who are going to control the oil? Maybe he's going to do the same.
Yeah.
Mm. And now what? What are we going to say? It's indeed. This is the one having a power. And this is the one having a final say.
Yeah.
Mm. No. Sometimes we have to think of it. Don't think about yourself. So that's why I'm saying always we are just selfish.
Yeah.
Because we think only now. For us, some of us, we are definitely for the next generation. Because we know that we are just waiting for our pensions.
Yeah.
There's no hope. For current now, the situation where we live in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, if they are working on it, we're supposed to see tangible results. Nothing. We could cry about the agriculture. Food production, nothing is happening. And then this is about to be done with one, with even 12 months.
Hmm.
Nothing. Anyway, Mike, I know your time is up.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for coming through.
All right.
Yeah. I think the one thing that should be very clear, that's...
You have 1 minute?
Muito obrigado, família. Bom dia.
Ah, you're too late, man. Como está?
Tudo bem, obrigado.
Let me
just take my 2 points quickly. I won't take longer.
Yeah.
I think awete on nungenge okwali ngo apianale o hatilo kupi hashokwa pilenale.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, awete to go to the issue of our president.
Yeah.
I think the people are thinking about what happened to late president of Angola, Dos Santos, and Isabel Dos Santos.
Yeah.
Maybe they are thinking about that to say, if he, that happens like that,
yeah.
One day will be like a one-way line. Maybe the fear is there to think to what happened with Angola. You know, the Isabella, the father was controlling everything, and he put it under his the daughter's name.
Yeah. So I think the issue here, and what I see is that the president really want to make a difference. You know, the president is kind of like, I want to make a difference. But also he doesn't understand that she's actually putting herself in a very dangerous, in a dangerous situation. Because if you make, there's a scrutiny within the parliament, you have a scrutiny of the parliament. And if the decision are made with an understanding that the parliament is a representative of the people. So whether right or wrong, they made a wrong decision. But if you make a wrong decision as an individual, as an office, that's more catastrophic. You understand?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can see which are all line and don't get on how long and how
long. Exactly.
Then people think about what happened to, we look around.
Yeah.
So that we're going to work in the long run. So I think the fear is there.
Yeah.
But let us see how far we'll go.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Muito obrigado, Valentine's Day pra ti também, pa.
Yeah. All right.
Obrigado.
All right. So the thing is this. As I said, this is not whole question of... it's a certain aspect in there, and sometimes people don't understand. People, they just think that, okay, the bill kind of like abandoned the whole bill. No. your Petroleum Act of 1991, that's too old. It doesn't address issues that are coming up, some of the issues that are that we experience at this point in time. So you need to change, you need to upgrade that act. Okay? That's why this amendment. Maybe there are certain aspects, like now giving all the power to the president. Yes, maybe those need to be challenged. Okay? So given all the issues that, given all the aspects that we're looking at. So, but not the whole bill. You understand? As we're looking at different aspects, you can see that certain aspects in the bill are actually good. You know, we know we need those aspects in the bill. Okay? So, it's not looking, even you as a citizen, when you're looking at, don't look at it as a bill to say it's either or. You know, we don't want that bill. No, that's not the case. You're looking at the aspect in the bill and be able to say, well, that aspect maybe need to change, and but we need amendment. We need an amendment in from the old act. Okay? So that's the way we need to look at it. So I couldn't go through all the aspects because they are very, really interesting, you know, for it would give you an idea. Maybe we can look at that as well later on. But the thing is that we have the parliamentary, when we look at what Namibian could lose is that the parliamentary oversight, the single biggest loss is the weakness of the direct democratic accountability through the parliament. And when it comes to transparency in decision-making, the presidential office operates with less public visibility than the line ministries. So, and the system should be designed for, it shouldn't be designed for the current president. Maybe it could, because that could be abused by future leaders. So that's the grandfathering cause is that most dangerous, this is the most dangerous provision, can entrench corruption and protection questionable existing, you know, in existing deals. So one, those are things that need to be. What we stand to gain, Namibian, what Namibian could gain is that now that you have dedicated expert managing now oil sector instead of politically appointed minister. So now you have actually dedicated. So the other, the mandatory transparency, because there's now annual public report and data repository. So we have the anti-corruption measures. Now there are anti-corruption measures in place, asset declaration for top officials. Those are things that we stand to gain. Economic efficiency in terms of fast approval, better coordination across the government. So those are some of the things that we, and local content protection. So the legal mandate for Namibian jobs and business within that law, there's a law now, it's included in there. So now the bottom line, so the trade-off, Namibia are being asked now to trade democratic accountability for the technical efficiency when you're looking at that. Now, if the system works as intended, okay, now get me, if the system works as intended, faster oil development, transparent revenue management, and professional regulation could actually lift Namibia. You know, it could lift Namibia. Now, if the system failed, now, concentrated power, think of the concentrated power, reduce oversight, you know, and the grandfathering clause could actually enable the resource curse that people talked about all the time. That's seen in Angola, that's seen in Nigeria, that's seen in Equatorial Guinea. I'm just focusing on Africa. Now, my question now for you is Namibia willing to bet its oil future on trusting individual over institution? That's a question, you know, you should. That's a conversation that you should have with your friends, with your family, and with your colleagues. So, it's 6 minutes past the hour of 10, and I have eaten up some time of France. So let me say my goodbye. Just wanted to, you know, round off what we have discussed so far. So let me say my goodbyes until tomorrow. So when on Mind Matters, at 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock tomorrow. So let me say goodbye and have a great weekend until next Monday when we're unpacking a new stories that make history or make headlines in our in our country. So for me, Mike Oshoveli, have a great weekend. And it's a goodbye for now.